So in the Kindle, I am on page 231. Where are you guys that have the paperback?
Where are we starting?
Verses 20 to 22.
231.
231 as well. So 231, I think it's Acts chapter 9, verses 20 to 22. All right, here we go. One thing that you must know and always remember, there is no past. The Holy Spirit works to heal the Son of God now. Anything that seems to be of the past is nothing in his eyes. It has no meaning and no purpose whatsoever. Everything that has meaning and purpose to the Holy Spirit is now. Open your eyes to the plan of the Holy Spirit. Open your eyes to the gift of the moment now. And before we turned on the recorder, Priscilla was talking about how when there's a difficult situation or a difficult person and you ask, how is this helpful to me? She was commenting, that brings you right into the now. And that's exactly what that does, because it brings you into looking at yourself and what you are experiencing in that moment, along with Holy Spirit and along with clarity. One reason the ego likes to keep you in the past or in the future, which is actually just a projection of the past, so it's still the past. The reason the ego likes to keep you in the past is because then you're not looking at yourself now. Right now, lots of people will say, and there's a truth to this, but lots of people will say, the truth is now. The truth is this moment. And there is a truth to that. However, what that maybe doesn't pay attention to is that for a lot of us, the ego is still blocking the truth. So when we're looking at now, if the ego is still blocking the truth, what we're really going to be looking at is our ego. But the ego doesn't want us to do that. The ego doesn't want us to stop and look at the ego. The ego would rather us think about the past or think about the future and not notice now. So for example, if financial worries are my concern and I'm looking into the future, thinking about, how in the future I'm not going to be able to pay my bills, things aren't going to be working out, I'm trying to figure out how will I get money and how will I pay my bills, I'm doing all this thinking. What I'm not noticing is that right now I'm worried. It's like it's completely obvious, and yet I'm not noticing it. And if right now I'm worried, what I'm really doing is I'm feeding ego. Ego is very strong in me in this moment. So, so what I want to be doing, instead of thinking about the future, I want to notice that I'm worried. And I want to focus on letting go of my worry. Focus on maybe rest, accept, and trust with my worry, or letting go of my worry and moving into a state of trust, or some kind of a spiritual practice. I want to be doing the spiritual practice on the worry. And what happens as we stay in the moment, looking at our ego and practicing our spiritual practice, is the future takes care of itself. Things just happen. Even if there's something that we are to do, the phone call will come or somebody will say something and we'll know, oh, that's what I'm to do. But when we're worrying without, thinking about the future, without looking at the ego now, it's like the ego's getting away with something. Right? It's keeping us in ego without us even noticing. So when this says there is no past, the Holy Spirit works to heal the Son of God now, what it really wants us to do is to stay focused on what we are feeling and what we are thinking now. And the more we stay focused on what we are feeling and what we are thinking now, really paying attention to what's going on now, the faster actually we're going to heal, because our attention is right in the place where it needs to be for that insight and that healing to occur. All right, verses 23 to 31. It has been said that the Lord works in mysterious ways. This is because the way of the Holy Spirit is not seen or known by the ego. If you look upon his plan with the eyes of division, you will not understand it. But if you welcome the thought that there is no division, you will see that his plan works perfectly. All things work together for God, for God is all that is, and all things seen through the eyes of the Holy Spirit are for him and of him. Again, before we turn the recorder on, Priscilla mentioned that one of the thoughts that's really helpful to her is that everything is there to help with her awakening. And that's what this paragraph is saying in a different way. But it's saying if we're looking at the situation with eyes of division, we won't understand that. For example, if I'm thinking of myself as a body with certain needs in the world, or maybe even certain wants, but I don't understand that they're just my wants, and I'm expecting the Holy Spirit to do what's in my best interest, but I think I know what my best interest is, then sometimes I may be in a certain situation and I'm like, well, why would Holy Spirit do this to me? Does Holy Spirit want me to suffer? You know, and it's because I'm looking at it from an individual point of view. You know, if we can just trust everything, even if we don't understand it, trust everything, there's an amazing miracle that happens in that you won't always know how everything was in your best interest or possibly somebody else's best interest, but you'll see a whole lot more of it if you can trust and not think about me, right? You know, when you're placed with a difficult person, for example, that is both for your benefit and that other person's benefit, that difficult person's benefit, right? And if you learn to trust all things, you can actually see that. You can actually see not only how that person is helpful to you, but you can also see how you are helpful to that person. You can see what both of you need to let go of, and you can see how you're perfectly paired. And you can actually see what a wonderful gift it is that the two of you who have these things that you each need to let go of were brought together so that these could be pushed up and you could let it go. But again, if you're thinking from the mind of division, then it's, well, why would Holy Spirit put me, you know, here working with this guy every day? You know? You know? So, again, if you can trust that all things are there for your healing, all things are there for your benefit, and there's never an exception to that, you will actually see it a lot more. You may not see it always, but you will start to see it a lot more. And then your trust will then just increase as you begin to have some understanding of how everything is helpful to you. Verses 32 to 35. The ways of the Holy Spirit are miraculous. They seem indiscriminate, and yet they work perfectly for healing. Hold on to your faith and trust in his way. Through trust, you shall know great joy and reward. The way of the Holy Spirit is the way of resurrection or awakening. For those who are sleeping are awakened by his touch. All who sleep, sleep in innocence. Their dreams are of no importance. And when they hear his call and awaken, the dreams are no more. I'm going to stop there for a moment. I think you guys know I had jury duty last week. And it's really interesting because many people have now asked me the question, how I saw the accused, you know, how I saw him. And what I decided as a member of the jury. And I actually thought that he was probably guilty of everything that he was accused of. But I also thought that because of the way some things came out in trial and because of the law, that we couldn't say he was guilty on everything. So we had to say that he was guilty of something, some of the counts, and not guilty on the others. And that's what the jury ended up doing. So, you know, that's the way it went. And that's what I thought happened. But I thought probably, yeah, he probably did it all. You know, that just wasn't a good enough case. But it kind of makes sense that he would have done it, actually. So, the way that I really see this person, however, who did some, you know, he didn't have a driver's license. It had been taken away in a previous violation. He had a protection order against him. He wasn't allowed to drink and do several other things, but in this particular case, What mattered was that he wasn't allowed to drink or possess alcohol. And what had happened was he started off by running a red light. But when the officer went after him just for a traffic violation, probably because he was drunk and didn't have a driver's license, right? although now I'm, you know, making some assumptions here. But he decided to try and get away from the officer. And he drove at speeds of up to 120 miles an hour. And the officer chased him for about 5.1 miles before the officer was finally able to get him to stop. When he got out of the car, not only did the officer smell the alcohol, but also there was a young girl in the car, about 4 or 5 years old. And she was not in a child restraint seat, but plus he'd been driving 120 miles an hour. So this is where all of the charges came from. So when I look at what happened, the way I literally see this man is that, you know, ego is feeding all of these thoughts to him, whatever the thoughts are that would cause him to drink, drive drunk, without a license, take this child, it was his child, he didn't steal the child, but still put the child in the car when he's drinking, you know. And he's just listening to ego is what he's doing, out of what I call ignorance. He doesn't even know he has a choice. He is not yet to the point in spiritual awakening where he has any idea that those thoughts are not his real thoughts. It's almost like he's being fed lines, you know, on a teleprompter. The teleprompter would be the brain. And when the lines come, he's just acting them out without even knowing that he has a choice. And in that, that's what everyone does until they start to learn that they have a choice and they start practicing discernment. They're just believing the lines that are being fed. But do you know where the lines are coming from? All of us. The lines are coming from all of us. I call it big ego. That's where the lines are coming from. So this individual cannot be guilty as an individual for playing out a role that we as a whole are writing and feeding in the lines. It's just impossible. There's ignorance. I think ignorance is a great word. There's ignorance, not understanding that these are just a part of an ego script that you're believing, right? And so you're acting it out because what else are you going to do? You know, what else are you going to do? So that's what this is talking about. All who sleep, sleep in innocence. They're just completely unconscious to the realization that these aren't their real thoughts and they don't even want to do this. They don't even know that yet, right? So they sleep in complete innocence and their dreams are not at all important. And at some point, we talked about this last week, at some point in everyone, something is going to happen and we never know what's going to trigger it in each person, but something is going to happen that's going to trigger that spark that's already been triggered in us to awaken. And when that person is, when that spark is triggered, that's when their conscious spiritual path will start, and whatever is helpful to them once that is awakened will start coming to them, and then they'll start learning discernment and they'll start learning not to listen to all of their thoughts, and the same process you're going through will happen. The only difference is it hasn't for some reason kicked off there yet, maybe, you know, and so they're still just fully playing their role. But they are completely innocent no matter what role they play. Completely ignorant. Now again, that doesn't mean that in a court of law, you know, that we don't still say guilty. That doesn't mean that in, you know, in the world we don't still send some people to prison. That's all part of the game too. But for me, when I was on trial last week, the word guilty didn't mean guilty. It just meant, yes, he did that. But the innocence, the perfect innocence is still in place. And when the ignorance is removed at some point, the innocence is untouched. Right? Okay, so starting with sentence 5. This is the plan of the Holy Spirit. This is a plan in action in the world now. All that is happening is a part of his plan, because all that is happening can be used by his plan to awaken the sleeping Son of God. So what this is saying is that every single thing that happens in the world is happening to lead each person to that point where their spark begins to wake up. You know, some people need to try out every single dream before they realize none of those dreams are going to make them happy, right? Some people need to really, really suffer before they surrender and ask for help and they open up. So everything that's happening in the world is allowing people to either A, try out all those paths before they find out they don't work, or B, take them to that point of surrender. And again, we never know what's in anyone's best interest. You know, so our job is just to be tuned into what I am to say now, what I am to do now, and then trust all things. The biggest mistake that we make is that we judge all things. And when we judge all things, all we really do is we keep ourselves in ego, you know, through our own judgment. So we want to, you know, our little spark has already woken up. That's why we're here. Our little spark has already said, okay, it's time for you to wake up. So now the best thing for us to do is to focus our attention on us, on me, now. What's going on in my mind? What's going on in my emotions? What am I to see here? And do our job of awakening. And somehow, as each of us does our job of awakening, somehow, because we're all one, that actually sets off a spark in someone else. You may never even know those people that have been set off because of how far you went with your awakening. But everything you do to awaken yourself helps to start igniting those sparks around the world and other people. So if you want to help the world, which a lot of people do, the most helpful thing that you can do is to wake up. That's the most helpful thing that you can do, because it will ignite other sparks, and the only thing that causes every problem in the world is the ego. So the solution to every problem in the world is no ego or awakening, right? So the best thing you can do is focus on your awakening. And one thing that ego may try with you, I know it's tried it with me a number of times, is it may try and tell you that you're being selfish. Because in order to focus on your awakening, you have to spend so much time focusing on yourself. You know, you have to be watching yourself. But it's not selfish. Not if you understand the world view or the universal view of how all suffering comes from ego or from ignorance. And the only thing that eliminates ignorance is for people to start waking up to the fact that it is ignorance. And that spark gets set off as you awaken more and more and more and more. So you're really helping everyone. It's the greatest gift that you can give. So what happens in dreams does not matter. See it only as the plan of love, as its only purpose and usefulness is that you may awaken from dreams of fear. All right, Acts chapter 10. One of my favorite chapters, but it's really the second half that I love, which we probably won't get to till next week, but I love Acts chapter 10. The guidance of the Holy Spirit will come upon you when you do not expect it, if you are willing to receive it. Consistent willingness is helpful, since you do not know when or how your guidance will come. Your willingness is not an offering that must be made to God to place you in His favor, for you are in His favor through your birth and through your creation. But the offering you make of your willingness prepares you to hear the message that is already yours. For if you are not wholly willing to hear it, it cannot reach your ears by your own choice. Practice your willingness in every way you know to practice it. When you are wholly willing to hear what God has to say, His calling will come to you. It's kind of interesting, because one thing that I think is an error is when people have this thought, not that it's completely wrong, but they have this thought, there must be a purpose for me in the plan, you know, meaning, you know, like for instance, I got to write NTI, you know, they're looking for what their purpose is in the plan, but they're looking for it so hard, trying to figure out what it is so hard, that they're suffering. And at some point, it even increases their sense of unworthiness, because they can't find out what their part is in the plan. And that efforting, that looking, that's an error. It's much better, again, just to focus on your own awakening. Do nothing else, but be absolutely willing to be used in any way. But don't go looking for it. Don't always be asking. Just remain open. And if you just stay focused on healing, but also remain open to be used in any way, then what this is saying is when you're not expecting it, you'll hear some kind of guidance. You know, it could be anything. Mine was rather extreme, you know, quit your job and move. Yours might be, just go over and speak to that man over there in the corner. You might not even know why you're going over to speak to that man over there in the corner, but you feel, go speak to him. And so you do, and maybe he just lost someone, right? And maybe because you lost someone 6 months ago, you're able to talk to him and help him with that. You never know. But the constant watching for what am I to do is also coming from ego. So instead of constantly watching for what am I to do, just remain open to be guided at any time to be used by Spirit, and keep your focus on your own healing. That's where your focus should really be. And I'll tell you a secret about me. I didn't expect to do something like write NTI. My inspiration for awakening, the way my spark got set off, was Peace Pilgrim. I had read her story, and she talks about how she had this 15-year spiritual growing up period, and then she had this enlightenment experience, and then it was like within a couple hours after her enlightenment experience that her calling came to walk. So since that was the only example I had, I thought I had to go all the way, become enlightened, and then maybe I would do something, right? So it wasn't even on my mind that I was going to do something. And so, again, this came completely unexpected. I was not looking, you know, what am I to do? I was just focused on awakening, and then this came. So, you know, and Eckhart Tolle, I think his story is, if I remember correctly, he woke up and then sat on a park bench for, wasn't it a couple of years? 2 years. You know, his didn't even come. You know, Peace Pilgrim's calling came within a couple hours of waking up. Eckhart Tolle had to sit on a park bench for 2 years, and then his calling came. You know, Ramana Maharshi sat in a cave for 17 years, and then his calling to start speaking and teaching came. So it happens in all different ways. And if you're looking for it, if you're one of those people, it's not going to happen for a few more years, but you're constantly looking, you can see how that's just going to cause you suffering. So, you know, don't look for what your job is, what your function is in that way, how you're going to be giving back. Just focus on awakening, but stay open, available, and willing. But it might not happen for a long time, and if so, you're not going to be the first, right? Okay, so verses 9 to 23. The guidance that God sends comes to you with one purpose. The purpose of this guidance is to lead you from the world of illusion back to God, where you belong. This is the only purpose of any guidance you seem to receive. Guidance from God can have no other purpose. Within the world of illusion, you have made yourself into what you believe you are. This self is wholly illusion. It is not what you are, and yet it is what you believe yourself to be. Since God granted you freedom in the creation of your capital S self, you are free to believe that you are what you are not. But once you have recognized the desire to be again that which you are, you must be led from who you think you are to your truth. This guidance will come to you as what is always helpful for you based on where you stand. But this guidance may not always be what you expect it to be. For if God was to fulfill your expectations, which are based on who you think you are, he would be teaching you that you are what you are not. This is not a lesson that God will teach. So, obviously what this is saying is, again, the personality is not real. It's not who you are. But if you're expecting God's guidance to come and give you what the personality wants, you're probably severely mistaken, because then God would just be reinforcing your personality. So many of the things that people think are going to be their guidance, because that thinking is coming from the personality's desires, they're just wrong. And so what that also means is, by looking for the guidance they're expecting, they could be totally missing the guidance that's present. Because they're looking for what they want. But what they want is only going to reinforce the personality. Now, a lot of people, when I say that, have this big fear. So does that mean guidance is what I don't want? And is guidance this huge sacrifice? Well, just based on my experience, I'm going to say, again, based on my experience, guidance is what you don't want. Not that it's going to make you unhappy, but you weren't even thinking that way. You know what I mean? Like, my mind never thought, you know what I'd like to do someday? I'd like to rewrite the New Testament. You know, that wasn't in my list of wants. You know, I mean, I wasn't even thinking that way. One thing that did happen, which was kind of interesting, I used to say that Albemarle, North Carolina, was the armpit of the world. My brother lived there, and I just thought that was an awful place, and I couldn't imagine why he wanted to live there. And I was guided to move there. So in that way, you could say I was guided to move someplace. I had already stated I do not want to live there. But what happened after I got there was I saw what a perfect place it was for me to live at that stage in my life. It's a very quiet little place. There wasn't much going on, but yet my family was there. It's where I wrote NTI. My daughter got to get to know her cousins, you know, a little better. It was all so perfect. And then after that phase of my life, I have a dream that tells me to go to Pueblo. Now, Pueblo, I didn't even know about, but if I had known about it, I would have said, I want to live there. So, you know, in the end, I ended up in a place that I love anyway, you know. So it's kind of interesting. So, you know, it's true that when you receive guidance, it may be, some of it may look like things that you thought you didn't want to do. But if you take those steps and go, you'll understand how the guidance was actually helpful to you. Some of it is going to be things you never even imagined, you know. And again, it's not going to be probably your dream list. If you have this dream sheet of all of these things that you want to do, Holy Spirit's probably not going to take you down those dreams. But some of them may hit. Pueblo hit. It was a dream I didn't even know I had, you know. But it hit. And now I know that I wanted it, right? So I just say don't worry about... I don't worry about sacrifice. Holy Spirit isn't here to torture you. You're torturing yourself through ego. Holy Spirit's here to make you happy. And sometimes you're taken away from things that you think you want. But that's kind of like the example that's used in A Course in Miracles. That's like taking scissors away from a baby. You know? If Spirit's taking something away from you that you think you want, it's because that thing was actually hurting you and you just weren't awake enough to realize it. And later you'll probably look back and realize, oh yeah, I see how I was hurting myself there. Then I was so focused on thinking I wanted it, I wasn't even noticed how much I was hurting myself. You know? So trust Spirit. There's just no reason in the world not to trust Spirit. He will reach out to you through His Holy Spirit. This is talking about God. God is the He. He will reach out to you through His Holy Spirit, which is His appointed messenger, sent to you within your dreams. This messenger, knowing who you think you are, will meet you there in your dreams and talk to you as if you are the one you think you are. But this one comes to you for only one purpose and with only one goal. His purpose is to awaken you by leading you from where you think you are to the remembrance of what you must be. This is a holy purpose, and He comes to you in gratitude, grateful to meet you in your dreams, and grateful to bring you home. For there is nothing the Holy Spirit is not grateful for. He is grateful for all things because He sees truly. So again, Holy Spirit comes and meets you right where you're at. So Holy Spirit, at least in my experience, you know, when you are crying because, you know, your sister is dying, right? Holy Spirit, in my experience, if you're not prepared for it, is not going to show up and say, your sister's not real, get over it. It's just not the way Holy Spirit works. Holy Spirit meets you where you think you are, but Holy Spirit points you in the direction of your sister's not real, you're not real, the world's not real. But Holy Spirit always meets you right where you're at and answers you perfectly. I don't know how Holy Spirit would deal with Jacqueline, because I don't know Jacqueline that well, so I'm going to make up a person. But Holy Spirit may look at a person who's suffering because their sister is dying, and may even explain that your sister is going to continue. She's not going to die. That's not a whole truth. The whole truth is the sister's not real in the first place, right? But if you're not ready for that, that's not helpful. It's much more helpful for Holy Spirit to emphasize that your sister is not dying. She will continue after the body. And then later, at a different phase, that's introduced a little differently. And then later, at a different phase, that's introduced a little differently, until eventually you're ready for the truth. Eckhart Tolle talks about this. In fact, not only does he talk about this, he does it. In one of his books, at the beginning of his book, when he's trying to teach you how to be still, he tells you to feel the inner body. At the end of that very same book, he tells you there's no such thing as an inner body. You know, so he was meeting people where they were at the beginning of the book, and then changing that. So the reason I'm telling you this is, as you are progressing, there may be things that Holy Spirit tells you, or guidances that Holy Spirit gives you, that are perfect for you at that point. But as you progress further, some of that gets taken away or changed. And people who aren't prepared for this sometimes, you know, could let the ego get in and say, see how stupid you are. First you hear Holy Spirit say this, then you hear Holy Spirit say that. But ego is just trying to get you to judge and quit listening to Spirit. Spirit changes as you change and as you're ready for more. Also, if you're listening to Spirit in yourself, when you're talking to other people, you're going to notice that you talk to people differently. You know, you may talk to one person about God and how loving God is and how God cares about you. And you may talk to another person about how there is no God. You know? And that's because Spirit through you is doing the same thing. Spirit is meeting them where they're at and giving them what's absolutely best for them to take them to the next step. The point is, Spirit's always pointing in the same direction. Spirit doesn't point in different directions, but it meets individuals where they're at. If you watch masters like Ramana Maharshi read his book, The Talks, you'll notice he told people different things. It wasn't the same answer to every person, because the same answer wouldn't have worked for every person, right? So that is the way Spirit is, and you'll find a change in your guidance as you advance in your spiritual understanding, your spiritual realizing, and your spiritual willingness. And the pace that you are taken at is going to be the pace that's perfect for you. Nobody is ever asked to go faster than they want to go. That's really completely up to you. Spirit is kind of following your lead in that way. Spirit's not going to pull you along faster than you want to go. Okay, one more paragraph and then we'll stop. Each of your brothers is one with you. Each of your brothers has the voice of the Holy Spirit to lead him, just as you have the voice to lead you. Listen to this voice, it is within you, and let your brother listen to the voice that is within him. There are no leaders and there are no followers. There is only one voice leading each one from who he thinks he is to the truth of all that is true. One thing that, you know, we all have trouble with at some point is what our brother is doing, what our brother is deciding, right? And this is really something we need to let go of. The truth is, for your sake, it doesn't matter whether your brother is listening to Spirit or whether your brother is listening to ego. It really doesn't matter, because no matter what your brother does, Spirit can still use that to help you awaken. And as you awaken, you're helping your brother, right? So it doesn't matter. That was one of the hardest lessons for me to learn, but once I learned it, it made life so much easier, that it's okay for my brothers to listen to ego, even if they're listening to ego and thinking they're listening to Spirit. Like, it's okay. I don't need to be worried about my brothers discerning properly and having the right guidance. You know, that's not my job. Also, when a person makes a decision, even if it's a completely wrong-minded decision, They're totally welcome to make that decision. The only thing you need to ask is, okay, what am I to do now? You know, like sometimes people will ask me questions, well, you know, what happens if my husband cheats on me? You know, what happens if my husband cheats on me? Well, it doesn't change the fact that you need to look at everything in you that's upset by this or hurt by this. That's still your job, even if he's cheating on you. That doesn't change your job to accept the atonement for yourself. And you still have freedom of decision. And you can work with spirit to determine what decision is in your best interest. You have freedom of decision to stay in that relationship, even though he's cheating on you, and to forgive it. And to just allow it to continue, realizing that's really his choice. And there are, you know, people who have made that decision. Or you have the freedom to leave the relationship, but without grievance, right? To leave the relationship, to say, you know what, I really wanted a monogamous relationship, and this just isn't right for me. I can feel it's not right for me. So if that's what you want to do, that's fine, but I need to go. So somebody else's choice never imprisons you. The only thing that imprisons you is not looking within yourself, watching your own reactions, knowing your own guidance, and knowing what decisions you are to make. No one else ever imprisons you. So just keep that in mind. Your brother is free to listen to spirit or to listen to ego. Your brother is free to listen to spirit or to listen to ego. Your brother is free to listen to spirit or to listen to ego. And if you remember that, life is going to be so much easier. As long as you're trying to make your brothers make the decisions you think they should have to make, you're going to have a very difficult life, because you can't ever control others. And that's just going to make things very tough on you. So let your brother live his life, and then you live yours with spirit. Okay? So let's see. We got to find an assignment in all of that. And if something jumped out at somebody else, feel free to share. It's really was talking a lot about guidance. But you know what I think the assignment's going to be? I think we're going to start with the very beginning. We talked about there is no past. And we said what that really means is that you need to stay very focused on now, watching your thoughts, your reactions, asking spirit, you know, how is this helpful to me? You know, what's the best decision for me to make now? How am I to respond to this? I'm going to say the assignment this week is to do your best to stay very focused on yourself. Let the rest of the world be. And try to be very, very focused on yourself. That's a pretty good practice. Okay? So let me stop the recorder then, and we'll go into a little bit of silence.